prayer is very, very important. I want to talk about prayer this morning because I believe, as surely as I am standing here, that God answers prayer. And I believe, and you believe also, that if our church would faithfully pray for one another, we would see incredible fruit. I want to challenge you to pray for one another, individually, by name. Wouldn't it be awesome if joining Trinity Baptist Church meant that 100 people prayed for you by name on a regular basis? Wouldn't it be awesome if you knew that because you were part of this church, you will be prayed for by name? I want to challenge you to pray for each other by name. Make a list or get a list from me of all the people of Trinity Baptist and just go through it and pray for people by name. Schedule it in your day and watch what God will do. Let's pray for each other by name. I want to show you how to do it this morning, but let's open our sermon with prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart? Pray that from the Holy Scriptures, God would speak to your heart today and teach you how to pray and teach you anything else He wants to teach you. Just open yourself up to God right now and say, God, speak to me, teach me, change me, feed me. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would touch them and edify them and build them up. Will you pray now for your brothers and sisters around the world? Some meeting in buildings just like this. Many, many, many millions meeting in homes in small groups of 5 or 10 or maybe 2 or 3. And there are many of your brothers and sisters in Christ right now that can't meet with anyone. They're alone. Would you pray for them? Because they're not alone. The Holy Spirit is in their heart. Would you pray that on this Lord's Day, your brothers and sisters, whether meeting in a church or meeting by themselves, could have fellowship with God and could hear from Him and be built up in the faith? Now, would you please pray for me? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You have notes in your bulletin? How to pray for one another. That's what we're going to talk about today. And my hope is that you will not use your notes just to fill in the blanks, but you will take this and use it for your prayer time. Number one in your notes, pray for a love for all that is holy and a hatred for all that is evil. Pray for a love for all that is holy and a hatred for all that is evil. I pray for all of you, and that's what I pray for you. When I pray for you, I pray that God would give you a love for all that is holy and righteous and pure and a hatred for all that is corrupt. Pray for each other like that. Look at what the Father says about the Son. In Hebrews 1, 8, and 9, behind me on the screen. But of the Son, He, that's God the Father, says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. You, Jesus, have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Jesus loves righteousness and hates wickedness. His Spirit is in your heart. We should have the same attitude. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate. I have a dog, and I love my dog. We love our dog. Some of you have met my dog. Combination dachshund, chihuahua, beagle, and lazy bum. My dog, we have no doggy door. So when we leave the house, we leave the dog inside. And sometimes we leave the house for all day. And the dog is inside, and the dog is very, very well behaved. But occasionally when we leave the dog inside all day, we come home at the end of the day, and the dog has left us a gift, a token of appreciation. There are many words to describe what I'm talking about, and you all know what I'm talking about, and I can't think of a word that would be appropriate in the pulpit. So we're going to call it stuff. I have a beautiful home. God has provided for my family and I. We have a lovely home. My wife does a great job of keeping it clean. It's great. And when I come home and there is stuff, it's very depressing. Very depressing. This beautiful home and there it is. And it just messes up the whole house. Listen to me. My heart is Christ's home. My heart is Christ's home. And when there is sin in my heart, it's messing up the temple of God. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians Colossians chapter 3, starting from verse 5, we read this: "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, I speak to myself as much as I speak to you. Some of these things are still in our heart, and we must hate them. We must hate them. For it is because of these things," verse 6, "it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. In them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Remember, sin comes from the heart. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. These things we must hate: anger, wrath, slander, abusive speech, pride, arrogance, self-centeredness, selfishness, greed, which is idolatry. These things all come from the heart. And when you pray for the people of Trinity Baptist Church, pray for individual members of Trinity Baptist Church that they would hate these things. And their greatest desire would be to get them out of their heart. Verse 12, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Brothers and sisters, your heart is Christ's home. We must pray that our greatest desire would be to clean house. It's a wonderful gift to come to the point in your life where you simply hate all the evil in your heart. And your number one priority is to be cleaned up by Christ. We must pray for each other that we would have this attitude. You pray just like this: "Lord, I pray for member A. I pray for John Q. member, that you would help him or her see that all sin in their heart is bad. And I pray for John Q. member or Jane Q. member, Lord, I pray for them that their number one desire in life would be for the sin in their heart to be cleaned out by you." I want to ask you a question this morning, Trinity Baptist. What do you think our church would be like if all of us prayed that for each other? Number two in your notes: pray for the life-giving conviction of sin and correction from God. Pray for the life-giving conviction of sin and correction from God. Conviction is life-giving. Do you pray for me? When you pray for me, I want you to pray this: "Lord, show pastor where he is sinning and correct him." want you to pray that for me. I pray that for you. Pray that for each other. Life-giving conviction is a treasure. We must learn to treasure it. Part of us doesn't want to be convicted of sin, right? Part of us doesn't want to be convicted of sin. Part of us wants to keep doing what we are doing. Part of us does not want to be told that what we're doing is wrong. But if you come to the point in life where you hate sin, then you want to know when you're sinning. If you come to the point in life where you hate sin, then you want to know when you're sinning so that Christ can take it away. When God points out your sin, it is a wonderful gift. Often we sin without being aware of it. We sin, we don't feel bad. It's so wonderful. It is so wonderful when God shines his marvelous light into our hearts and we are able to see where we are falling short of his glory. It is so wonderful when God shines his marvelous light into our hearts and we are able to see where we're falling short of his glory. I used to rent Michael Tyler's house. Many of you have been there. It's on a corner, and there's a stop sign right there. And I would park my truck right in front of the stop sign. The stop sign is actually in Michael Tyler's lawn, right there. And I would park my truck right back of the stop sign. And in the morning, I would start my truck, and my truck is a manual transmission. I'd start my truck and put it in first and roll forward 2 feet and stop and then take off. And that became a pain to me. I didn't like doing that. So I got into a bad habit of rolling on through that thing. I would start the car, I'd put it in first, and I would just kind of roll up to the stop sign and then roll away. And I started doing that until it became a habit, and I didn't realize I was doing it anymore until I had the total horror, that might be overstated, I had the privilege of getting a ticket in front of my own house. That was fun. But you see, I got in a bad habit. And I didn't realize that I was doing it. And a lot of times, our lives are like that, aren't they? We get into bad habits. We get into sinful habits. And pretty soon, you're not even aware, I'm not even aware that I'm sinning. Maybe we're being materialistic. We get into a bad habit here in America. And we don't even realize that we are being materialistic. Maybe we're getting greedy. Perhaps we're not being honest. We get in a bad habit of telling little half-truths. Perhaps we're in a habit of being selfish. We're in a habit of being prideful. We're in a habit of being rude. You might be in a habit of letting words come out of your mouth that are not glorifying to God. We all, including me, get this way. And we don't realize we're sinning. And what I'm saying to you is conviction of sin is a treasure. It is wonderful when God points out your sin. And sometimes he does it through a brother or sister in Christ, and that person is your best friend. Look at Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Because the Lord loves you, he corrects you. Look at Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproves for discipline are the way of life. Proverbs 10:17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. Oh, how I need to be reminded of that. And I trust that that word encourages you too. Proverbs 15:31. He whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. You know, God gave us the scriptures to correct us. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So pray for each other, Trinity Baptist. Pray for each other. And when you pray, pray like this. Lord, I pray for John Q. Member. I pray for Jane Q. Member. I pray for them. I pray that you would show them where they're falling short of your glory and you would lead them into your everlasting way. What a great prayer to pray. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. What would our church be like if we all prayed that for each other? What would our church be like if we all prayed that for each other? Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. Show them where they are falling short of your glory and lead them into your everlasting way. What a beautiful prayer. Number three, pray for the faith and courage to obey. Pray for the faith and courage to obey. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 with me, please. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. I have a question to ask you. Don't answer out loud. Two people are described. Which one of them heard the word of Christ? The answer is both of them. Both of them heard the word of Christ. The difference is one obeyed and the other did not. You see, I can read the Bible every single day, but that's not enough. I must obey what I read. I must obey what I read. And I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, I want to call you to pray for each other. Pray for each other. And when you do, by name, pray that they would have the faith and courage to obey. One of my favorite people in the world is Fawn's grandfather. Fawn and Maddie are not here this morning. Maddie. I was going to say Maddie is at Master's College. Wouldn't that be great? Fawn is at Master's College. Maddie is probably with her. But most of you remember Fawn's grandfather, Troy Folks. Wonderful guy. Very, very close friend of mine. Became a mentor and a father figure in my life. And I was having car trouble. This is years ago when he was still alive. I was having a lot of car trouble, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I kept going to various mechanics, and none of them could tell me what it is. I took my car to Troy, and he looked at it, and he said, "Hoss," that's what he calls people. He said, "Hoss, I think you've got a fuel problem. You got a fuel problem." I took it to my mechanic and I said, "It's a fuel problem." And he said, "No, it's not. It absolutely is not a fuel problem." So I called Troy. I said, "My guy says it's not a fuel problem." And he said very politely, "Your guy is wrong. It's a fuel problem." I said, "Okay." And I didn't do anything about it. He called me back a little later and he said, "Hoss, I think your problem there is the fuel pressure regulator." I took the car back to my mechanic and I said, "It's the fuel pressure regulator." And he said, "I don't know what the problem is, but it is not the fuel pressure regulator. It's totally unrelated to fuel." I said, "Thanks." Troy called me. He said, "Did you take it to your mechanic?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's not." He said, "Hoss, it's the fuel pressure regulator. That's the problem." I said, "Thanks, Troy. I really appreciate that." And I completely ignored his advice. And I'm glad to see Sister Janet Soar here today, because Janet will remember she was standing right over there. I ignored his advice. I ignored the problem. The fuel pressure regulator continued to leak, and fuel built up. And poor Janet was across the street when I went over and I turned on my car, and the fuel ignited, and the top of the engine just blew off. Now, let me tell you something. That was an expensive mistake. If I had listened to Troy and just found a mechanic, perhaps Dave Duckett, found a mechanic that I could have said, "Can you change the fuel pressure regulator? Boop. Here's $50 or whatever it would be." But I didn't listen. I listened to Troy's advice, but I didn't follow it. I didn't do anything about it. We can read the Bible all we want. You can read the Bible day after day after day after day after day, but you have to put it into practice. You have to put it into practice. Turn to James chapter 1. Many of you have seen this or heard this. It's a very famous verse, and it's fantastic. James chapter 1, 22. James 1, 22. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility," I'm sorry, I'm starting with verse 21. "In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Now verse 22. "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." The one who reads the word of God and applies it to his life, this man will be blessed. This man will be blessed. I love the illustration that James gives us. The word is a mirror. It's a wonderful gift. You pick it up during the day and you read it, and like looking at your natural face in a mirror, you can see what you need to correct. And if if we read the Bible and just walk away, we're like someone who looks, a guy perhaps, looks in the mirror and needs to shave, and he goes, oh, I need to shave, and he just walks on. This is a wonderful gift, Trinity Baptist. This is a wonderful gift. You open it up, and it shows you where you need to be corrected. And if you follow it, you are blessed. And I want to ask you to pray for each other. I want to do more than ask you. I want to call you. Pray for each other by name. And when you pray for each other by name, pray for John Member or Jane Member. And pray like this. Lord, I pray for John Member. I pray for Jane Member that they would have the faith and the courage to obey the Word of God. What would our church be like if we all prayed that for each other? Number four. Pray that they would discover their gifts, calling, and take their rightful place in Christ's service. Pray that they would discover their gifts, calling, and take their rightful place in Christ's service. Our Lord, of course, has two great commandments. Matthew 28:18-20. And John 13:34-35. John 13 is behind me on the screen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All of us should dabble in that. No. All of us should be completely devoted to that. That verse should be what your life is all about. That verse should be what my life is all about. And when you pray for each other, pray that that individual person could find their gifts to serve the body of Christ, could find their calling, and that their life would be devoted to that. Matthew 28:18-20 is the other one. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Every member of Trinity should be completely devoted to obeying this. And every member of Trinity should be active in obeying this. Every member of Trinity, their life should be centered on this verse. If you're a Christian here today, you have such an important opportunity. You see, non-Christians are doomed to waste their lives. Non-Christians are doomed to waste their lives in self-seeking, self-centered, self-indulgence. A child of God can truly embrace the most wonderful life possible, a life of serving the Lord Jesus. Jesus has saved us. Jesus has purchased forgiveness for us. Jesus has given us the right to be adopted by God as his children. Jesus Christ is so wonderful. And you and I don't have to live a life of meaningless self-centeredness like the rest of the world. You and I do not have to live a life of meaningless self-centeredness like the rest of the world. You and I can serve the King of Kings every day of our lives. And my prayer for you, when I pray for you by name, I pray that you would find your gifts, that you would find your calling, and that you could take your place in Christ's army. That's what I pray for you. And And I want to call you to pray that for each other. What would our church be like? What would our church be like if we all prayed that for each other? One more, and I'm done. Number 5 in your notes, pray according to their specific situation. Pray according to their specific situation. This is one reason it's important that we have fellowship with one another. Why? Because there are people in this room, I'm telling you right now, there are people in this room that are suffering. There are people in this room that are suffering. There's someone in this room whose mother is dying. There's someone in this room whose brother-in-law passed away suddenly. There's people in this room that are in very real pain, and you know what? They need you to pray for them. They need you to pray for them. Fellowship with one another. Call each other. Message each other on Facebook. Text each other. Write each other. Talk to each other. Say, brother, sister, how can I pray for you? There are people in this room that are husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, students, workers, people that have bad work situations, people that have challenging home situations, people that can't pay their bills. There are newlyweds in this room. There are students in this room. There are people in the armed forces in this room. Pray according to their specific situation. Pray for each other. Julie and I had the privilege of going to Open Doors USA on Thursday and Friday for a conference they had. And there's two or three staff members that we work with on a regular basis with a One Hope project. It's a big ministry, and there's multiple staff in the building. But we've been doing the One Hope project since 2008. And there's two or three staff members that we have worked with that whole time. And we were there for 2 days, and we saw those two or three staff members several times. And one of them came up to me and said, Pastor, I just want you to know that I pray for you and your wife every day. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. I wonder what condition my life would be if she didn't. And as I look out in this room, I wonder what condition my life would be in if you didn't pray for me. And I look around and I know that you do. Where would I be in life? Would I still be the pastor? Would I be growing in Christ? Would I be physically healthy? Would I be spiritually healthy? Would I have fallen into temptation? Where would I be if you didn't pray for me? Because I'm 100% sure that prayer works. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want to do more than challenge you. I want to call you. Pray for each other. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for hearing us when we pray. Help us to be a church that prays for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.